Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives today, as usual. And, Jim, we start with the good. It follows up on the good martini that Ian and I had on Wednesday, and that's that the FBI believes it is going to be able to recover many, if not perhaps all, of Hillary Clinton's deleted emails. And now there's not only that aspect that the Clinton campaign needs to deal with, but Chuck Todd basically saying that the State Department and a lot of folks there have had it with the way Hillary Clinton has explained this.
We've had plenty of evidence, anecdotal evidence that has come out that has said, you know what, the State Department, not everybody at the State Department knew that a private server, in fact, they didn't know. I mean, look at that one email that came out from Huma Abedin that even where she admitted in sending an email to the secretary, hey, your email's down. They didn't know about your server situation. Well, if the IT department didn't know, I'm guessing a lot of people at State didn't know. And I think that's what perhaps you're right, Joe, that there are people at State going, you know what, we don't want to have this be about State. This needs to be about Secretary Clinton.
Jim, Chuck Todd basically saying that a lot of State Department folks, even in the IT department, didn't know she had this private server. So Hillary Clinton's explanation that, oh, yeah, all these previous secretaries, this is nothing new, is not only not holding water, some of these people are going public with it.
What makes this difference from all previous Clinton lies, and I'd like you to just picture a giant, vast library behind me with walls and walls of shells and documented Hillary lies, is it now it's a slightly different story when she says, oh, yes, these other people said it was okay, and kind of putting them on the hook for it. While these people may or may not be Republicans, they may be Democrats, they probably have loyalties beyond that to Hillary Clinton. And if she was doing something phenomenally unsafe with classified information, it's pretty natural they'd say, whoa, 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 no, we did not sign off on this. I did not say it was safe. I did not say it was secure. I did not, think it's fine. If the State Department, IT department didn't know about this system, that kind of says everything she says, oh, this was fine, this was normal, this was signed off on, is completely – this. On the one hand, this doesn't surprise us. On the other hand, the fact that she's getting called out on it is surprising. If you watch Chuck Todd's coverage closely, there's now this kind of creeping skepticism. I think you're now starting to see MSNBC and the NBC News organization, which we kind of figured to be one of the vanguard of the Clinton 2016 effort, starting to sound a bit skeptical, starting to say, look, she lied about something on a massive scale, on a glaringly important matter. She lied, obviously. She lied in a way that, suggests she thinks the audience is stupid. And we just can't go with that. And they're not letting go of it, to their credit. So, this is what makes it a good martini. And it's just kind of fascinating to watch her squirm and just offer even further lies to try to cover this up.
On to the bad martini now. And Ben Carson has been in the headlines a lot the past few days. It all stems from his appearance on Meet the Press with Chuck Todd, in fact, on Sunday, where he was asked if a Muslim was compatible with the Constitution. Carson kind of gave a blanket statement of no, he didn't think so. He later qualified it, saying, well, if they're agreeing to abide by the Constitution and not follow Sharia law, for example, that would be acceptable. But you don't want somebody who's going to try and supersede the Constitution with Sharia law. So there was a discussion about this Wednesday evening on CNN Tonight between Don Lemon and Frank Rich of New York Magazine. And Frank Rich, of course, came to the obvious conclusion, Jim, and here's his comment, why this is resounding so well with many in the Republican base, and of course, it's because they're all racist.
Because there is a racist, bigoted part of the Republican base. His own campaign manager said to the New York Post a couple of days ago, the Republican primary electorate is 80-20 on our side on these anti-Muslim
comments. But you say that if there's a racist element out there appealing, but he is a black man.
He is a black man, and there's been Republican support for other black candidates, Herman Cain last time. Nonetheless, it doesn't mean it applies to everybody, but I think Muslims are the new sort of target of this kind of racism.
So, Jim, kind of an awkward moment there where Don Lemon points out to Frank Rich that, hey, these racist people are responding favorably to something a black guy said. But Frank Rich doesn't seem to care because if you're not towing the narrative, I guess, it doesn't really matter what the demographics or the facts are in the case.
Yeah, I'm awaiting Frank Rich's groundbreaking series on African-American white supremacists. My understanding is that the white supremacist movement recently instituted an affirmative action program to help minorities get more advanced in there. So I'm sure there's somebody who's saying, Mr. Garrity, that is not funny right now. But in a way, when you see Frank Rich, who's so like It's like he's been programmed a certain way. And he's like a malfunctioning robot. It's like, meep, white supremacist, meep, racism, race, meep, bigotry. That he just throws it at someone who I just don't buy the idea that Ben Carson is a racist or a bigot. Now, I can, you know, disagree strongly with him. I think his, you know, painting with too broad a brush when it comes to Muslims. I think Bobby Jindal put this very well when he said, look, the issue isn't religion, it's values, right? If you got a Muslim who's down the line with you, voting the right way, sees things the right way, interprets the Constitution exactly the way you want, why wouldn't you vote for him, right? Problem is more than a few Muslims interpret thing have a different view of the separation of church and state. And there's obviously lots of extremist groups claiming to act in the name of Islam that is affecting people's views of Islam. When the most brutal and horrific and cinematically bloodthirsty regime in the world calls itself the Islamic State, then people are going to have, it's going to affect the way people think of Islam. So yeah, I think with Frank Rich here, you know, everything boils down to Republicans are evil, and he will follow that to its most ridiculous ends, to the point in which he says, Ben Carson is black, but he's still racist. He still does it in a way to hate blacks and support whites and things like that. And I think it's at some point, some of these pundits start turning into parodies of themselves.
Follow-up question for Mr. Rich and perhaps others who share his ideology. Does Ben Carson's life matter?
Ah, interesting question. Well put, Greg.
On to the crazy martini now. And Jim, it's been an interesting 24 to 48 hours. Well, it's really been an interesting 3 months with Donald Trump, but especially the last 48 hours. Donald Trump has been picking a lot of fights. He's now threatening to sue the Club for Growth over an ad that they're putting out saying that in the past he advocated tax hikes. He's threatening a libel suit there. The O'Reilly Factor canceled an interview that was supposed to happen today. In response to that, he said he's not doing Fox News interviews for the foreseeable future because he hasn't been treated fairly. He's sniping at Savannah Guthrie at NBC for not mentioning a poll that he's doing pretty well in. And then there was this moment from National Review editor Rich Lowry last night on the Kelly file with Megyn Kelly.
Part of what's going on here is that last debate. Let's be honest. Carly cut his balls off with the precision of a surgeon, and he knows it. He knows it. He's insulted and bullied his way to the top of the polls. No one was able to best him ever except for this tough lady on that stage, and it must kill him. He must be simmering about it to this night.
Jim, I think a lot of folks who saw the debate perhaps agree with the general sentiment behind what Rich said, and those who know Rich might be a little bit surprised that he actually used that terminology. But of course, the Trump folks and Trump himself were not about to let that go unanswered. Here's what Trump said to Morning Joe today.
I get treated very fairly by some of the media, and some of the media does not treat me fairly. Fox does not treat me fairly. Megyn Kelly, I mean, you had this loser on last night, this guy Lowry. I never even heard of him. He was so out of control. He lost control of himself. It was actually sad. He lost control of himself last night with what he said. And I guess you got to take a guy like that off the air.
So, Jim, there's all these different food fights going on right now. And regardless of whether you think Trump was wronged in any or all of these things, it's pretty clear it's very hard for him to just move on. And holding grudges is something that comes pretty naturally to him.
Well, there's I can give you like four different thoughts in response to this. First of all, it's fascinating to watch my boss, Rich Lowry, who's really, not a bomb thrower. I don't know whether the audience watches Rich often on Fox News or not. He's a pretty even-keeled kind of guy. And the idea that, he's this, beyond the pale, out of control, shock jock, really doesn't match Rich's personality very much at all. The idea also that the Trump folks think that this is something completely unacceptable, I find kind of amusing. I just would simplify it, Greg, by saying, look, we just don't have time for the political correctness that the Donald Trump crowd wants. And really, I don't understand why when he says, cut his balls off, what they meant, what Rich meant, was talking about Trump's persona, Greg. Finally, there's another line that Rich may use in a forthcoming statement, so I'll hold off on that one. But two observations. One is we remember, there was the whole fight with Megyn Kelly, and then he and Roger Ailes seemed to make up, and he went back to having the, those tough, hard-hitting interviews from Sean Hannity. It seemed like there's this constant drama, this soap opera between Donald Trump and Fox News. And I'm sure the Trump folks would say, well, Fox started it. They're covering him in some unfair way, or they're out of line in their coverage or something like that. One, I hate to break it to Donald Trump and his supporters, but if he's elected president, there's a good chance he's going to get some critical coverage. You really can't agree to do the job of the presidency if you get nice coverage. I know I understand that's what Obama expected. Obama always seems, you know, very thin-skinned and very frustrated when somebody criticizes him. But that kind of comes with the job. Secondly, people noticed that he went after – he won an FCC fine against Rich. I think we've seen much worse language not get a rebuke from the Federal Communications Commission. But some would say, huh, isn't it interesting that Trump's first instinct is to send the government after someone for saying something he didn't like? It goes also rather well with his threat to sue the Club for Growth for an ad that they're running. The ad claims that Trump supports tax hikes, and they say, no, it's incorrect because he used to support tax hikes. He doesn't support them anymore. This verb tense, he wants to throw threaten a libel lawsuit against that. Now, obviously, the bar for libel suits is very high, libel and slander, I should say. If you love Trump, you'll see this as part of his, oh, he fights back hard. Oh, he doesn't let anybody walk all over him, et cetera, et cetera. If you see Trump as somebody who is not interested in shrinking the size of government, but merely steering this already large government to different ends, then you may get a little bit of a whiff of Lois Lerner and his willingness to send the government after people he doesn't like. So anyway, we will see how this shakes out another day with Trump. I just want to observe, like, another day that people are talking about Trump fighting with Fox News personalities is another day they're not talking about, you know, refugees swarming Europe, the mess in the Middle East, the state of the economy. You know, you can't help but get the feeling that these, you know, celebrity on celebrity fights are a very comfortable territory for Trump, as opposed to, say, you know, getting into a very detailed policy debate. So, but maybe that's, look, from what we see this year, Greg, this is what the Republican base wants.
Well, on the plus side for National Review, ever since the whole Megyn Kelly dust-up, she's now the number one show in cable news. So congratulations on your subscription bump that I'm sure is coming.
There you go. All right, yeah. I'll take that, you know.
And the emails will be flying. Jim, have a great day. We'll talk to you Monday.
See you Monday, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And be sure to tune in again on Friday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.